Nathan Wallace, Kids Don't Come With a Manual. Nathan's joined us before, and now there's a bit of a casting call for finally to appear in his second series. Nathan has three kids. He's fostered Tamariki as well, and he's got a professional background in child counselling, teaching and social service management, described as a neuroscience educator. And Nathan, thank you for joining us on the program again. It's great to link arms. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. It's good to be here.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for the chat.
Look, well, it's never a dull moment in parenting, and it's it's a great challenge, but there are great rewards as well. I think I'm a helicopter parent, Nathan.
Right, okay.
You know, but I got mokopuna now, so I'm I'm hovering above their lives too, and I wonder.
Are you allowed to?
Am I? Aren't you supposed to give them Alfie and Aroha but set them free?
Yeah, well, there's appropriate stages at different stages in the life. Like sometimes, you know, when you've got an infant, it's appropriate to be a helicopter parent. You've got to be around and attuned to them and, you know, picking up on their needs all the time. You know, as a teenager, you might want to stand back a bit and not quite be a helicopter, but it's all right, you know, time and space for everything, I think.
It can be frustrating if you've got teenage tamariki or, in my case, mokos, you know.
Yep.
Sometimes the conversation doesn't exactly flow, mate.
No. Yeah, well, teenage years is all about your brain number four, your frontal cortex, shutting for renovations, basically. So they lose a lot of their logic, their ability to control their emotion, you know, understand consequences. They become huge risk takers. All of that's about that brain number four sort of shuts down for 3 years and goes through some major renovations. So we'll come back bigger and better, and they'll be brilliant adults. But yeah, we've got to get through those adolescent years where they're a bit moody and, you know, risk-taking.
Is it tougher to be a kid in 2024 than it was in 1964?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it has got tougher. Like, we tend to focus on things like, oh, you know, the kids got their own bloody PlayStation and got their own bedroom and stuff. But, you know, when we were kids, everyone had a at-home mother. I mean, that's a huge advantage to have a dedicated at-home parent. You know, most people are in childcare before their first birthday now. That's the norm, has been for like 30 years. But yeah, in the 1960s or the 1970s when I was growing up, 80% of people lived in the same community as their grandparents. And most people had a grandmother that didn't work. So you had a mother that didn't work, a grandmother that didn't work. You have these dedicated people. So yeah, we give our kids a lot less. There's no point feeling guilty about it. It's just the time and the space that we're born in. But I do think it's harder for them. They've got a more rapid state of change. You know, change happens much faster. And we see that in the rates of anxiety and depression and stuff that the kids have now in comparison to the 1970s is huge. There's been a 65% increase in depression for teenagers in just like something like the last 4 years.
What do you put that down to, Nathan?
Well, a lot of that's COVID. A lot of that's isolation. And I think it's just down to the stuff we just talked about. We've taken away their resiliency factors. Growing up around grandparents was a resiliency factor. Having an at-home parent was a resiliency factor. Yeah, I think it's just the nature of the world.
Okay. But we want to do the best by our tamariki and our mokopuna. In fact, there's no greater investment we can make, ne?
No, that's right. I mean, what is the greater investment? It's our... You know, it's a song. I feel a song coming on. But yeah, children are our future. And children are incredibly resilient. So even with all of that, you know, most teenagers don't have anxiety and most teenagers don't have depression. So we are incredibly resilient. I'm sure we can cope with anything that comes our way. It's not about just being sad about what we haven't got, but about working out what can we do and today and right now to create resilient, happy, you know, children. Because there is lots we can do.
Tēnā koe.
You know, it's all about...
Back in the day, we had bigger families, eh?
Yeah. Mum's from a family of like 10. Dad's from a family of like 16. You know, there's they breed much less now. There used to be a much bigger crowd.
Tell us about your new series. I enjoyed the first. Of course, anything that focuses the mental development of our tamariki is important, and sometimes as we grow older, we can sort of overlook some of the realities for them. What are you hoping for? What are you looking for, actually, for your new series, mate?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the last series, too. It was rewarding going in and especially working under a tikanga Māori framework where you're really strength-based and you're looking to the whānau to create their own solutions. You're not coming in and telling them, you're broken, I'm going to fix you, because that's not a tikanga Māori thing. It's like the solution for, you know, the solution for the whānau will come from the whānau. And it was really a privilege to work with those whānau and watch them come up with their own solutions and see them empowered to realise they can, with a bit of āwhi and support, they can fix their own problems. So yeah, we're doing it all again. We went into a sixth family, I think, last time. And yeah, and we're just going to explore a whole nature of issues like you do today. ADD came up a whole lot in the last series. Didn't plan for that, but that seems to be a reality that lots of people are facing. But I think because people are more isolated, people aren't living in their, you know, in their tūranga waiwai, they're less isolated, more urban. So there is a real space for supporting parents. You know, and like you say, that's one of the most important journeys that they go through in their life. And we want to enjoy it. You know, it's important in our future, but we also want to have fun and be present with our kids and create good memories.
And it differs from how our communities were based in the past. If I look back pre-1950, when the urban drift occurred, we were living almost in papakāinga or hapu styles, and then all of a sudden we're urbanised, nuclear families, quarter acre sections, you know, the drill. But the corridor is that it takes a village to raise a child. So while this might be looking at aspects of parenting, I've always liked the term for uncle, which is matua kēkē, which references the underarm hair. So you can imagine putting your arm around your neff, you know, a little distanced from the parenting role, but one certainly of a supportive role. How does this mahi morph into involving the wider whānau rather than just mum and dad?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we often sometimes now have a whānau of affiliation rather than being necessarily, you know, our biological uncle. You know, it might be dad's best friend who you grow up with and is a really close uncle. So it's more of a family of affiliation, because as we're urbanised, we have to sort of make our whānau where they go. Well, I lived in Christchurch. It's not where I fuck a papa too. But I had a whānau in Christchurch that I raised my kids with, and we looked after each other's kids. And it does take a village to raise a child, especially as they get older. You know, in infancy, it's much more intimate. The village isn't so much involved in the first 2 years. It's, you know, the village is involved in supporting the whānau to look after the baby, but it's quite an intimate relationship when they're a baby. But as they get older, you need more supports. Children are complicated, and change is really fast. You know, I think every generation there's a generation change. You know, from my parents to me, there was a generation change. But I think from my parents, from me to my kids, it's the equivalent of about three generations, because, you know, change is just so rapid, so fast.
Still a great place to raise tamariki, though, Aotearoa?
Yeah, I think it's still best place in the world. We've really got the best of everything here.
Kia ora. What about their capabilities? Sometimes we think that they needed to be moulded in different directions, but their abilities are incredible. I've got some mokos who just seem to be sponges for information, and you know, funny as well. There's a lot of neat things that go on. Do we need to respect their abilities and capabilities perhaps more than sometimes we do?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think, you know, we've traditionally had a society that treated women like they were lesser. We traditionally had a society that treated, you know, Indigenous people like they were lesser, and none of that stuff was founded, and I don't think it's founded to treat children like they're lesser either. You know, every single invention that has ever advanced mankind in any way come from the brain of a teenager. Like, no adult has ever invented anything that has significantly changed adult society. You know, every invention you can think of, the computer, the motor car, electricity, anything, all come from the brain of an adolescent. So they are very valid in the stuff that they come up with, and you know, they are brilliant, but just they often need support. It's the nature of being a child. You know, your emotions, the same thing that allows you to be creative, having those strong emotions, is the same thing that makes you, give you a precursor to anxiety and depression. And, you know, and with the amount of time that kids spend on screens today, that's another big risk factor for anxiety and depression. So it's just about mitigating those risks. It's not that they're broken and useless and aren't going to contribute to their adults. They can contribute now from the time they're around. But they just need support, nature of childhood.
And that's where this comes in. Anxiety and depression sadly can lead to suicide. And we have, should be extremely embarrassed by the fact that our country has one of the highest youth suicide rates in the world. What's going on?
Yeah. That's quite incredible, isn't it? The answer is, I don't know, Dale. nobody does. You know, when you look at, often Russia comes second in those suicide rates. And I think the people from Russia look at the conditions they're in and look at the conditions we're in and think, why are you killing yourself? You know, it looks like we live in paradise. So it's a complex thing. It feels like no one really knows why we have such a high rate. But it's got to be said that that high rate is down to Māori. Pākehā in New Zealand have about the same rate of suicide as it's on par with other countries when you take Māori statistics out of it. So it's really Māori men that kill themselves at a faster rate than anybody else in the world. And we can speculate for a long time about why that is. You know, I think it's lots to do with we're a very emotional culture, Māori, which is one of our strengths, that we're so strong in our emotions. But the flip side of that is that our negative emotions can be big as well.
It's an interesting thought, and I'd love to have a more lengthy kōrero with you about that, Nathan. I should have asked at the front where your whakapapa lines take you to, Eho.
Oh, I'm Ngāti Kahu ki Whangaroa, up around Kyle. Like, I didn't grow up around there. That's just where I whakapapa into. Like lots of other people, I'm urbanised. I grew up in the South Island, so I'm a bit Te Waipounamu centric. You know, even my reo tends to be, you know, I went to Karareo for Naitahu, so it tends to be Naitahu, and I married Naitahu, so my kids are Naitahu and identify that with that more strongly because that's where we lived. But yeah, as I get older, I get more interested in my own, you know, whakapapa and what that relates to.
I think you speak for all of us, man. Hey, all the best. Kids Don't Come With a Manual, Series 2. Is there a casting call? Are you looking for some whānau to make up your extended extended family, Nathan?
Yeah. Well, in the last series, we were hoping that every family sort of represented a whole lot of families so that you can watch, see that family, see them come up with their solutions and work them through, and hopefully take learning from that yourself. So same thing, we're looking for diverse whānau, just anyone that wants some support, that doesn't mind sort of being part of the village and doing that publicly with people. Especially infants. You know, I think last series we didn't focus too much on infants, so this time I'm excited about doing some stuff around infant brain development, because that is really where most of your development happens in the first 2 years of life. So yeah, any whānau with new babies, dads that are involved in parenting, yeah, just anyone. Parenting such a wide, you know, variety of situations. So anyone interested in getting some support, wanting to learn about a tikanga Māori approach to things, you know, we're all learning. No one's got all the answers, but I think it's an opportunity to, you know, delve into all of that and see some alternative answers and some alternative framings and way of working it.
Yeah, no, so, it's been good catching up with you, Nathan. Thanks very much. You can Google Nathan Morris. And, you know, the old saying, parents look to their middle-aged children for signs of improvement. Good on you, mate. Good talking with you, Nathan.
Cheers,
thanks
mate.
Very much. You take
you
care.
Too.
See you, man.
Okay.
Bye now.
Talk to you.
Nathan Wallace. Great.